And then open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 5. Tonight we'll be studying from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. As we've been reading our Bibles this week on the topic that the One Word devotionals have suggested, we've been giving thought to humility. Humility. More than 40 years ago, my mother secured swimming lessons for my brother and me from the local swimming teacher in Kennett, Missouri, Mrs. Miles. And if I remember right, you'd get about a half-hour lesson for $5. What a bargain. These days, Grace is taking piano lessons from Miss McDonald, soon to be Mrs. Faring. You get to do that for about $10 for a half-hour, and they're great. If you were going to solicit humility lessons, to whom would you go and what price would you be willing to pay? Sometimes people have to learn humility at the cost of humiliation, and that's a high price to pay. And God doesn't want it to have to be that way. But would you go to the man who advertises lessons in humility, 30 minutes for only $25? Would you go to the man who was advertising lessons in humility, who says, best in the four states, why settle for less than the best? Humility is it's a different kind of animal, isn't it? And the most humble of people struggle with it, even. Everybody does. If you were looking for somebody to give you lessons in that, would you go, you think, to pre-Pentecost Peter? Now, when we think of Peter, perhaps in the time of Jesus' ministry, we think about the man who claimed, even if all fall away from you, I will not fall away. And he was prone to say those kinds of things and seemed to need to show himself to be really somebody. But he's like the rest of us. He had his moments, his bad ones and his better ones. When I see Peter early on in Jesus' ministry, I think I see a man who Jesus found who was humble. And Jesus knew what he could do with an humble man like that. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, this is probably the third recorded interaction between Jesus and Peter in Scripture. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus has been to Peter's house even, and Peter has seen Jesus instantaneously get his mother-in-law back on her feet. Jesus has already been by when Peter and his brother and their partners are fishing, and he's trying to draw them to be his disciples. Well, this is the time in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where Peter is going to start doing that full time. He's going to drop everything and follow Jesus. But I want to point out three things that come from his humility in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's read it together. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. What will humility make of you? Do you see humility in this familiar man, Simon Peter, in this text? Humility, I want to say, in the first place, makes us polite. There's politeness in the beginning of this lesson. You think about it. Peter has been fishing all night. And fishing all night to Peter was work. Some of you might look forward to an all-night fishing trip sometime. That's going to be something really special. But this was work to Simon and to his brother and to his partners. And they have fished all night. And now they're back on the shore and they're cleaning their nets. Last thing they're going to do prepare for the next night, probably before they go home and get some much-needed rest. But here's Jesus, and he wants to borrow the boat. He needs Peter to take him out a little bit of the way, to get away from this crowd that's just pressing on him so he can get some distance and be able to address the whole crowd with his important teaching. Now, as I said, this is not Peter doing this just the very first time that he meets Jesus. By the way, it might not have been a surprise if Peter would have gone ahead and done this for Jesus if it were the very first time that he met him. Humility is what makes a person polite. Titus chapter 3 verse 2 contrasts the way Christians ought to be and the things that will cause us to have courtesy in distinction from the world. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people." And then Paul contrasts us from the way of the world and from the way he says we used to be. In verse 3, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." But things change. Things change, say verses 4 and 5, "when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared." And he saved us. That motivates us to be the kind of people then that verses 1 and 2 are describing. And the last thing Paul said there is to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Similar to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." An expanded translation that really keeps the thought there is "your sweet reasonableness." Christians are people who are sweet and reasonable. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Peter's showing that to Jesus on that morning. Tired as Peter was, here's what Jesus wanted. Here's what Jesus needed. And Peter puts up no fight, no complaint. "Here's my boat. Do what you came to do." I read about a woman, and this was recorded in the San Francisco Chronicle. And when I see all the details of the story, I am so glad to see something like this coming out of San Francisco. But there's this woman, Linda Wilson Allen, who drives a Metro Transit bus in San Francisco. Bus number 45. She loves her job. She loves the people that ride her bus. She learns their names. If they are regulars, will wait for them if they're running late and find time to make it up somewhere else in her route. For 80-somethings, like a woman named Ivy, she'll leave her driver's seat and go down and help bring her bags up on the bus. She just loves her job. She once found a person hanging around Bus Central, whatever they call it there, and she obviously looked like she didn't know where she ought to be. She was a newcomer to town. On the spot, Linda invited her home for Thanksgiving. Now, you think about the thankless task of driving a bus in a big city like San Francisco, punctuated with engine breakdowns and traffic jams and gum on the seats and all else that comes along with the bus. Well, what's the key? The story in the San Francisco Chronicle said that her mood for the day is set at 2:30 a.m. when she gets up and then gets down on her knees to pray for 30 minutes. She thanks God for her job. She thanks God for the people whom she serves. And all day long, she's known for being polite and courteous to people. Humility is what will make you that way. A second characteristic of Peter, something that we see in him in this passage, is a submissiveness. Humility makes us submissive. Now, he's already showing courtesy toward Jesus and letting him use the boat and staying there with it whenever he's been up all night and about ready to go home. But now Jesus says, go out there and fish some more. Now, here's someone who's been a carpenter, just embarking on this teaching ministry, and now he's giving fishing advice to a professional fisherman. Just head on back out there and go out into the deep. Some of your translations say, launch out into the deep and fish. And it's going to go well for you. Now, what would Simon Peter and the rest of the fishermen be thinking at that time? Custom was, and everybody who was in the business in that day knew that the time to catch fish on the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, as Luke calls it here, is at nighttime in the shallow water. Jesus says, you head on out here now, and it's bright daylight, and you go out into the deep, and you're going to catch fish there. Well, Peter, it looks like to me, is still trying to be polite, isn't he? But Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. So there he goes with his partners back out to the deep water. And verse 6 says, when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to the more partners to come out. Well, they get out there, and there's so many fish, both of the boats are about to sink. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Now, Peter was submissive, and it seems to me that since he calls him Master, and since he says, since you say so, it is reflective of what's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Peter had already spent a little bit of time with Jesus. And because Jesus says so, Peter will do something in his sphere of expertise that he wouldn't usually have done because Jesus says so. Will you do anything Jesus says just because he says so? At home, you know how you feel and you know how you want or what you want. You know what your habit has been, and you know what her habits are or his habits are, and you know how things work here. Will you do what Jesus says to do just because he says so? At work, you have those people that are just, whether they are over you in the chain of command or they're your peers or they're somewhere on down the line from you. And you know what you want to do, and you know what you think will work best, but will you do what the Bible says to do just because Jesus says so? At school or wherever, or when we come into the church sphere, when it comes to salvation, if you're hearing these things from the Bible, and here's what you must do to be saved, and you hear that because the Bible says so. People ask a question like that. What must I do to be saved? And what they're told, you don't necessarily understand what that's got to do with anything. Well, you do it because Jesus says so. And when we begin to worship, if it's not what your idea of worship would have been, if it's not the songs that you would have chosen, if it's not the musical style that you would have chosen, and on down the line, will you do it just because Jesus says so? Peter teaches us a lesson in humility. Humility makes us submissive to the Lord. Peter's feeling like he knows better. But Jesus said so. So that's what I'll do. Humility makes us submissive. And then number three, this is going to be the last one for tonight. Humility makes us worship. All these fish are in the nets now. The boats are about to sink. He didn't think it was a good idea to go out fishing. And he'd been out all night and caught nothing. But now, here they are. And he can't deny. Jesus knew what he was talking about. And the response of Peter in verse 8 is, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter has had an experience not unlike what some people in the Old Testament had. I think about Job. Oh, and Job was trying everything he could to be faithful and humble through all of the things that had come his way at the hand of Satan that he didn't understand. And finally, God appeared to him in a whirlwind and spoke to him. And when finally God is done saying what Job needed to hear in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, Job said, "I've heard of you with my ears, but now I've seen with my eyes. I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Or when Isaiah is given that vision of the Lord, and hears, "Holy, holy, holy," in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." And he just feels undone. Here's Peter. He's been with Jesus a couple of times, maybe spent more time than we find out about in the Gospels with him. He'd seen Jesus get his mother-in-law back on her feet just like that when she was lying sick with a fever. But now Jesus had said, "Go out, you're going to catch fish." And they get out there and they catch more fish than Peter had ever seen. And he's overcome by what he sees. Verse 9 says, "He and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken." What was it that Peter had seen in Jesus and about Jesus? Well, now at least twice he'd seen Jesus' amazing power. He's a witness to the extraordinary knowledge that Jesus has. And he's seeing the graciousness of our Lord. Jesus was being gracious whenever he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Jesus is being gracious to these men who had fished all night, and they fished to make a living, and they caught nothing. And now they don't go out and catch a few. They catch more fish than they've ever caught before. All of those things swirling together in Peter's mind, and we find him at the feet of Jesus. Humility makes us worship. To worship, essentially, is to bow down, if not in body, at least in the mind and in the heart. And the more we know about Jesus, the more we see of him in the Scripture, the more we feel the need to worship, and in humility we follow through on. So here's Simon, this man whom we know in life is going to struggle with humility. On this day, he had it right. On this day, he knew his place before Jesus. And humility made good things happen. Humility made him polite. Humility made him submissive. Humility made him worship. As we finish, of course, if we really are going to get the lessons we need in humility, they come above all from Jesus Christ. And this story in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, is not really about Simon Peter. Like all of them in the Gospels, it's about Jesus. And I wouldn't want to finish a lesson on humility without reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and pointing us very directly to Jesus for inspiration. Have this mind in you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know at what level of understanding Simon was at this time about Jesus. But when he falls at his feet, he calls him Lord. We understand what the Lord has done for us. He humbled himself. And the way Paul writes that in Philippians chapter 2, it's just like he takes one step and another and another and another and another until he's obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. And his humility, along with his knowledge and his power and his graciousness, like we saw in Luke chapter 5, his humility becomes as much an inspiration for ours as anything. When he had humbled himself that way, the Bible says, God highly exalted him, gave him the name above every name, and that at his name, every knee should bow. We all ought to be bowing at the feet of Jesus, as did Peter. Jesus is the illustration of the truth that's taught us more than once in the Bible. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Are you humbling yourself before the Lord? You must humble yourself before him in order to be saved by him. But if in your humility tonight you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you feel in heart and mind penitent for your sins, you want to repent, change your ways, and you want to confess in this life, like you will on the last day, that Jesus is Lord, you could be baptized. You could be baptized tonight as Jesus commands, as Jesus blesses. Your sins could be washed away, not by the water, but by the blood of Christ, which flows our way when we're obedient, submissive to his command to be baptized. We'd love to see you become a Christian tonight to help you. If you are a Christian, but you have the same struggle that even the humble man Peter had in his life with humility, or some other struggle with sin, well, know that you're among fellow strugglers. We want to encourage you, and we want to pray for you, and we'd love to do that if you'd give us the humble opportunity. The invitation is yours. Why don't you come while we stand and sing together?